Just about every Christmas movie there is tells us that we've just got to believe. And so it begs the question, what are we supposed to believe? What are we supposed to hope for and trust? This Advent, we have been walking through the first chapter of Luke as Luke sets the stage and tells us what happened right before Jesus was born. And just in case, you know, your mind was slightly distracted, I'm going to review that really quickly, okay? And it starts out with the angel Gabriel appearing to the old priest Zechariah in the temple. And Zechariah is told by Gabriel that Zechariah's wife Elizabeth will, in her old age, bear a son. Zechariah isn't believing this and so becomes mute. Elizabeth then becomes pregnant. The Lord then sends Gabriel to visit a young maiden named Mary. And Mary is told something even more amazing, that she will conceive a son by the Holy Spirit and that this child will be the Son of God. And then when Mary and Elizabeth meet, the child inside of Elizabeth leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. And there's this joyous exchange, and Mary then cries out in a song of joy and about the world that's going to turn. Well, now finally, John has been born, and Zechariah no longer is mute, but is able to declare, this son shall be called John. His name will be a reminder that God is indeed gracious. So if you just think about all of Luke 1, there's multiple angel visits, there's miraculous births, including Mary conceiving a child by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. And I think for most of us who live in a scientific and even skeptical age, I think a lot of us might look at Luke 1 and question, be a little bit incredulous, a little bit like, did it really happen that way? Angels and virgin births and so forth. But really, I don't think that's the hardest part about Luke 1 to really believe. No, I think accepting that there were angel visits or miraculous births might just be a matter of our mind, letting go of some rules of the game and saying, okay, God can do what God wants. Again, it's a matter of a sort of a conversion of the head to sort of accept what happened in Luke 1 and even Luke 2. No, I think there's a harder and a deeper thing to believe in, and that's found in the words of Zechariah here right before Jesus is born. And Zechariah declares that God is forgiving the people and that God's tender mercy exists, and God's tender mercy is breaking in from on high, and that there will be a new way, a new age, a new kingdom that is about peace. Again, I think if we're honest, this is the really hard part to believe. That God actually loves this world. That God hasn't given up on this world. That God's mercy exists, and that God's mercy has been born out and made new in Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us, if we asked ourselves the question, in the last year, has my heart grown any harder? In the last year, am I more doubting of the power of love in this world? Indeed, our nation just witnessed these impeachment hearings this last week, and I don't know anybody who's less cynical than when the process started. Again, it's easy for us to have a hardness of heart, to struggle to believe actually that there is a such thing as God's mercy, and that God's mercy is for us as people. But I think perhaps the toughest thing to really believe about all of this is that it's for me and for you. Zechariah promises forgiveness, mercy, new life, and peace. And I think all of us at some point struggle and wonder, really, with all that I've done, with who that I am, with the brokenness that is inside of me, the mistakes that I've made, the pride and vanity, the greed, the selfishness that I struggle with, does God really love me? Was Jesus Christ really born for me? Can I be forgiven? Will I be allowed? Am I worthy enough to enter into the peaceable and loving kingdom? That's really the good news that we proclaim always and at this time of year, that the birth of Jesus Christ is indeed for you, and that God has chosen not only to bear a son named Jesus, but to call you his beloved children. This is hard for us to believe, and for Zechariah, it requires God putting a new song in his heart. Again, it requires a new song, or at least a rekindling of a song that he had put to bed, a deep song of joy that breaks forth. And what causes Zechariah to have that new song in his heart, a song that is of hope and of joy, is the next generation being born. And as he sees the next generation, he is able again to have hope that God's faithfulness will go on. And I think this is what the next generation does for us. I think when we see the next generation, our hearts are filled once again with hope. This last week, I got to see some of the elementary schoolers singing about the Grinch. And, you know, it wasn't about Jesus, but I had this sort of like, okay, the human race will go on, right? And then I got to see some of our middle schoolers at a fall play. And again, I was just like, okay, right? They're a youth, they're children, and it's going to be okay. Starting to put a new song, a Christmas song in my heart. I got to introduce to my nephew this weekend one of the classic Christmas movies, Home Alone. And for maybe the two of you that haven't seen Home Alone, it's a story about a boy named Kevin who's left at home by his parents by accident when they go on vacation. And the main part of the story is about Kevin protecting his house from these two mean burglars. Okay, right? But there's this really beautiful scene that happens in a church. And I would actually say that of all the movies that I've ever seen, this may be the most positive image of church. And Kevin is there with this old man whom he previously was scared of. And they begin talking, and Kevin admits that he doesn't feel good about himself. And it's this really beautiful, merciful line. And the old man says, well, church is a good place to be if you don't feel good about yourself. And then they keep on talking, and the man admits that he's at this service or at this practice because he has this separation with his son, and there's been argument, and there's been this family fighting. And with the innocence of an 8-year-old child, Kevin looks up at the man and says, well, why don't you just call him on the phone and tell him you care about him? Like, duh, this is what you're supposed to do. And the old man says, well, you know, families are complicated. Families are complex. And it's so easy for us to cloak our cynicism behind the word complex. Right? It's complex, which means I don't really know what I can do about it. No situation is ever too complex for God. No situation is ever too complex for God. And of course, because it's a Christmas movie, the movie ends with the scene of the father of this old man welcoming in his son. Because again, it's a Christmas movie, and we know the way the Christmas movies work, and that is that hope wins, reconciliation happens, healing happens. And this is what I think we're really struggling with and hoping to believe, that indeed there is a tender mercy from on high, and that it's not just remaining on high, but that it's breaking forth into our world. And that, yes, forgiveness is possible, indeed has happened in Jesus Christ. To believe that healing and reconciliation and peace here on earth are actually, even if for moments only, possible through God's love. Well, this isn't just about Luke 1, and this isn't just about stories, but this is the work of God for that tender mercy to break on high and to fill our hearts with a new song. And again, so often that new song is encouraged by the next generation. So this week, I went to All Pro Dads at Lititz Elementary, and they typically show sort of an inspirational video. And this week was really amazing, and it was about a man who had cerebral palsy. I think his name was Dave, and he was about 20 or so when the story sort of starts. And you know, he has to spell words by moving his eye on a keyboard, right? He has no real control of his limbs. And Dave heard that there was a college student who was injured in a car accident and paralyzed from the waist down, and that they were having a fundraiser for this person. And Dave said to his father, I think we should go run in that race. And so the father looks at Dave, who again is in an electronic wheelchair, looks at his own gut at 43, and kind of wonders about all of this. But again, a new song is put into his heart, a new song that in this case came out of that man's faith as well. And so he runs this, you know, 5K with his son in a wheelchair. And they love it, right? And so they keep on running. Well, they did 25 Boston marathons together. 25 in a wheelchair, pushing his son. And it's all because of a next generation saying there is hope. There is tender mercy that breaks from on high. I don't want that kid who's disabled to think that life ends when you have a disability. I think one of the beautiful things about Christmas is that God lets us behold Jesus as a child. And we're able to see, like Zechariah, the next generation and have hope. But not just a sort of, in our case, a perpetual human in youth, but indeed, in our case, and in Zechariah's case, a hope that this child, Jesus Christ, is the one whose death and whose resurrection for you makes possible your forgiveness and the tender mercy showing up again and again in your life. Amen.